This episode of the One Board Family Podcast is brought to you by Murder on the Cosmic Express. Looking for a social deduction game but don't have a lot of time? This one only takes 5 minutes. Check it out on Amazon or at your favorite local game store today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, and here with me, as always, is a man who cooks a 500-pound turkey every Thanksgiving. It's Ryan Gutowski. How are you, sir?
Got to feed all those neighbors, son, with my giant turkey.
Yeah, I don't know where you get a 500-pound turkey. Is it kind of like those catfish that you find like near dams that weigh like 200 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
Is there like a special place where you find giant turkeys?
It's actually in the same place. It's near the dams. They're called water turkeys. So
water turkey. Yeah.
Good old water turkeys. So
T-shirt, please.
Yeah. So my water turkeys, what I do is I build a big old pit. This is turning into a cooking show very quickly. Build a big old pit in the backyard. I put that big old water turkey right in the fire pit. Cook it for the whole neighborhood. 500 pounds. Eat all of it.
Yeah. Mm. It actually turns into a bonfire.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to cook the water turkey.
That's true. So
there you go.
How are you doing, Rick? We are on the eve or the eve of the National Turkey Day Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, we drove down to Macon this evening, and so I am in Macon recording, and you will be down in this area pretty soon yourself. So
that's true. We're going to be visiting some family, and maybe if everything lines up right, I might get to see you for 5 minutes this week.
Oh, goodness.
We'll see.
Yes, you guys get to meet Phoebe. You won't really care to meet me. You just want to meet
Phoebe.
That's
true. That's such a bigger thing than seeing you. That would be awesome, actually. Yeah. I got way more excited than when I thought I was just going to see you. I was like, dude, this is really good. Okay. Now I'm actually looking forward to it.
There you go.
At first, I was like, maybe I could fake sickness or get super ill.
It's one of the kids is sick, you know.
One of the kids is sick. I'm not able to see you. Sorry.
Yeah. Josiah just threw up everywhere. I don't even know. It's tough.
It's a holiday disaster, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this...
Well, Ryan, because of, some scheduling stuff on our side, we actually had a Thanksgiving... My wife's side of the family had Thanksgiving on Sunday before Thanksgiving. So we got to do some nice turkey eating and casserole eating and game playing. So I have some actual what you've been playing stuff to offer this week.
I like that, Rick. My game time has not been so much at the house or with other people in my family. Yeah, so spending some time gaming at lunch is about all I've had time for. Been a little busy around here. So that's all the game time I've been getting lately.
You know, as long as you do it during the workday, as long as it interrupts every other thing that you're supposed to be doing and you play cards instead.
Yes, that's the only way we can do it. So, no, lunchtime gaming is really an awesome break during the day. I look forward to it. So. Anyway, so what you been playing, Rick?
Well, among the games that we played this week was Bring Your Own Book.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this game before?
I have. I actually gave that as a gift a couple years ago to some good friends of ours. It's a really cool game.
Yeah, it's like Apples to Apples, which I think most people are familiar with, in that you have a judge each round, and they give a prompt, and then people give a response. And, you know, one thing about Apples to Apples that we've talked about in the past is, you know, the limitations of the cards. And it just kind of also kind of gets old after a while. Not a horrible game, but maybe just a bit overplayed. Bring Your Own Book adds a little twist to it in that instead of having cards that you'll respond with, everybody has a book and they will be looking through their book for a way to respond to that prompt that is given on a card by the judge. And as soon as one person finds a response to that prompt, they'll flip over a timer. And then everybody else has to find an answer to the prompt from their book before the time is up. And you collect the cards that you win, and the first person to 4 or 5 points wins. So very much like Apples to Apples, except with a book.
Yeah.
It's way better, though, than apples to apples, because you get the ridiculousness of, you know, just quoting a book completely out of context and then laughing really hard. The best part is to get books that you really shouldn't be using for a game such as this. Yeah. So when we played, my brother had brother-in-law had a copy of a biography about Ulysses S. Grant. And then his girlfriend had the Crochet Bible. Mm. And then next to her, my other brother-in-law's girlfriend had the Man's Guide to Parenting or to Pregnancy.
Nice.
And then I had the Story of the Von Trapp Family. So just a bunch of different random books that we were able to pull off, and had some great answers to stuff. My favorite one was, the prompt was a superhero name.
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law played Still Alive Man, which was easily the best answer that we had all
That's
day.
Good.
And so, you know, it leads to a lot of laughter, leads to a lot of fun. It's definitely something that I think I'll be taking to family events from now on. Like, I packed it when I came down to Macon, and we'll probably play it tomorrow night. Nice, easy, fun game, and that I think everybody will enjoy.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those games where the uniqueness and the silliness doesn't come from a person's imagination, but from the book that they choose, which is really cool, because I think some people, especially with a party game, they may feel a little inhibited because they may not have like a creative mind or something that works pretty quickly. But if you can just open up a book and find something really silly and stupid, I mean, there it is, you know? So,
right. Yeah. And you still have some dud answers from time to time when you can't find things, and it happens. But I think like the highs are higher with that game than with apples to apples, and the lows are about the same. So, and I actually think it's cheaper than apples to apples.
Yep.
And most people have books sitting around. You can also use magazines, newspapers, whatever you got sitting around. So, I think it's something that if you haven't gotten apples to apples and you're looking for something like that, get this instead of apples to apples. I would highly recommend.
Yeah, that's it's a good one. So Game Right makes it, and it's a very good addition to your family game shelf. Speaking of additions to family game shelves, Silver and Gold from Pandasaurus Games. This is a Phil Walker Harding game. You know that name from Sushi Go and Sushi Roll and Gizmos and all those awesome. What's the bear game?
Baron Park.
Yeah. So he made Silver and Gold, and it's a polyomino type of flipping right thing. You've got eight cards. Yeah, I think eight cards. Eight polyomino cards, which are like Tetris shapes. You flip over seven of them during the course of a round. And the goal is to cross out different patterns. You need to cross out all the squares that are on an island of the two cards that are in front of you. Every player will always have two island cards in front of them that are different shapes, different configurations, and you're trying to cross out all of the spots on the island in order to score that island. You're basically digging for treasure throughout the island. And so it's a really cool game. I like what it does because it's a little bit of kind of trying to guess what the next card's going to be, because there are eight different shapes and only seven of them will reveal during the round. You have to kind of anticipate what that eighth shape would be and not depend on it so much. I found myself getting stuck. I played at lunch with some of my coworkers at lunch last week, and I found myself waiting for a perfect square to show up, and I kept waiting, and sure enough, that was the last piece that was not going to be revealed, and I wasted...
You were a sad little...
Yeah, lady. I wasted so much time because I could have reorganized some shapes and made it a lot sooner, finished out that card a lot sooner. There's some bonuses that are given from finishing out certain cards. You can collect gold treasure in order to get awards, stuff like that. Silver and Gold is on my Christmas buyer's guide this year as a stocking stuffer. It is a fantastic game. And
yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. You played it. That's right. You played it at...
I played it with Bob.
Yeah. Bob showed us the German version at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. And so...
Yeah. And we really struggled with some rules when it was in German. So hopefully you've got it all cleared out now.
Oh, yeah. Everything's super clear in the American version, so you're not going to run into rules issues. So it's definitely worth the buy.
Because you can read them.
Yeah, because you could read them. So it's definitely worth the buy.
Yeah, that's helpful.
It's a lot of fun. And, I mean, we've played it. I think we've had it for a week and a half, and we've played it 10 or 11 times. So we're up to almost a dozen plays in a week and a half. So
yeah, and I mean, you get to write on your cards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what other
that's
game
fun.
Does that? Yeah,
writing on cards is great.
It really is. So anyway, so that was Silver and Gold.
That's what you got to look
from
for.
Pandasaurus Games. So, yep.
Sweet, Ryan. Well, we've got a topic for this week's episode. We're talking about gaming at the holidays. While many of you might not hear this until after Thanksgiving, you still got other holidays coming up in December, and we want to give you a few categories of games that might be helpful for you to break out whenever the family comes over. So stick around after this quick break, and you'll be able to hear all about that. Ryan, have you ever had to solve a murder on a train?
Not in the past 6 weeks.
Okay, well, you know, if you're really having that itch where you're like, gosh, ooh, I want to solve a murder on a train, you can either set up a murder on a train, which will probably get you arrested.
Very costly,
or
too.
Or you can go out and grab a copy of Murder on the Cosmic Express. This is a quick deduction game. It plays in 5 minutes and just a deck of cards. You'll be able to have a great time with it, and you'll feel just like you would if you were on a train, minus the, you know, being on a train and the actual dead body and the, you know, body goop that happens now, with murder. At least I assume. I've never been around a murder.
I get motion sick. Will this game make me motion sick?
This game will not make you motion sick.
Okay, I can play
unless you're already in a place that makes you motion sick. So for those of you that don't want to get motion sick and you want to solve a murder, you should totally check out Murder on the Cosmic Express from Screech Dragon Studios.
Rick, it's the holiday season. Something, something, something.
We won't sing the rest because we don't have the rights.
Also, I can't sing. So, Rick, we're talking about holiday gaming. Around the Thanksgiving holiday, we get to game with my in-laws and extended family on Aaron's side. And then during the Christmas holiday, we actually get to game with my side of the family. So it's a full 30 days worth of gaming when we get to the end of the year, so which I love.
Boom.
So so we have a couple categories of different gaming, different scenarios you'll find yourself in around the holidays, and wanted to see what games we would pick out. So, Rick, why don't we get started with getting everyone involved at the table? You know, you got the younger people, you got the older people. Let's get them all at the table. What are we going
to
pick?
Yeah, and I think usually when you're trying to get everybody involved, it either needs to be an easy concept. Well, it has to be an easy concept, and it also helps if it has really great table presence. So I think Werewords is a good one. I think another thing that's great, are you okay with the collar?
Yeah, I'll cut it out, along with you mentioning it.
Yeah,
now the dog is whining. Crap, Rick, you acknowledged his existence. I will be back, and I probably won't cut any of this out.
Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in life you have a dog, and then the dog shows up in the middle of your podcast, and then the dog shakes his collar in the middle of your podcast, and when the dog shakes his collar in the middle of your podcast, you have to throw him out of the door.
What hateful things are you saying about my dog?
No, I love your dog. Your dog is adorable.
Okay, let's go.
So I think what's great for getting people involved, it needs to be quick. It needs to have pretty good table presence, and it needs to play. It needs to have easy rules. So I think Werewords is a really great addition there. You know, you can have people go in and out. It's, you know, 5 minutes ish per round. And you know, especially if you're able to use the more basic rule set at the beginning, you can get somebody to just show up at the table, maybe even guarantee that they're going to be a villager at the beginning, and then they'll be able to get into the game. So Werewort's definitely a good
one.
And
a lot of people have played 20 questions, so they kind of understand the ask a question, get a response type of thing. So the yes or no question. So
exactly.
We've got some Western games that we want to throw out there. What about Finger Guns at High Noon? This one's easy because it's a rock, paper, scissors type game from Indie Boards and Cards. And you get to just throw some hands, you get to throw hands at your siblings and aunts and uncles because that's what they like.
Fisticuffs. So,
you get to throw hands and basically fake shoot people and blow people up and turn people into ghosts, which is what we want to do at all of our family dinners anyway. So
Certainly. And, Flick 'em Up is another good Western one. We actually played that on Sunday for our with my in-laws. Set up for the most basic scenario where we were just trying to take each other out. It was a lot of fun. I think they'll enjoy it even more when there's a little more strategy involved. But for what it was, it was how we kind of wrapped up the day. It was a lot of fun. And, watching everybody fail miserably. I did terrible on my shots. But it's a great little dexterity game.
Yeah, why are we so bad at flicking things?
I don't know, man. You'd think by now we'd be better.
For real.
But I think that dexterity games are kind of a good door opener. Another one I put on this list was Gravity Warfare, mostly because of the table presence.
Yes.
It's got that big saucer in the middle. I honestly don't even play by the rules all that often when I play Gravity Warfare. It's just, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Try to put the little spaceship on it with the little plastic pieces on the spaceship with chopsticks or with your eyes closed and while it's spinning and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, Gravity Warfare is really impressive. And people, if family sees you playing that, they're like, oh, snap, I need to get in on this. So.
Exactly. Because it looks cool.
Yeah.
So, getting people involved, make it look cool, make it quick, make the rules simple.
Yeah. So what about getting excited before the big meal? So this is a problem that I have. We're like, okay, everybody, we're going to eat at 1 p.m. And then 3 o'clock rolls around and we're like, the casserole is not out of the oven yet. We're going to need to wait. So we gotta have something to tide us over until that big old turkey gets out of that oven.
There you go. Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
What about a round of downforce?
Oh, man, a round of downforce is always good. Mm. Yeah, it's in my bag right now here in Macon.
That's
because
what I'm talking about.
It's something that it almost kind of follows the get everyone involved rules, except it's a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And, it's quick, it's simple, or the rules are quick to explain, and it's a simple game to understand. So I think people love it. I mean, you've had a lot of experience playing Downforce, I think, with people.
Downforce was a huge hit last Thanksgiving, I think it was, with Aaron's family, like cousins, uncles, aunts, like everybody just jumped in. I think we played it like 6 times that Thanksgiving. It was a lot of fun, and it was by far the biggest hit for us with her family, so... I would say if you want to travel to outer space, maybe we could take Space Base. This is one that was a big hit last year. Got to play with Aaron's cousin and his wife. Had some fun with that and taught them how to play Space Base. It's a little longer of a game, so if you know that you've got a good amount of time before that turkey gets out of the oven or that casserole is going to be done baking, get Space Base on the table. It's 45 minutes long, and you're building out you're building out this fleet of starships, and it's really, really cool. It's got that Machi Koro vibe, but it's deeper, and it has some really cool rules. And you roll the dice, you take the perks, and just try to beat your opponents. It's a great game.
Yeah, I like Space Base a lot. I played it with you one time, and it's been on my wanting to get list was what I was about to say.
Yep.
I forgot the term wish list for a half second.
All good, man.
But sometimes in life you gotta find your vocabulary. I also put Echidna Shuffle on this.
Yes.
We haven't talked a lot about it since Origins, but dang, that was a good time. And I think if you want something that's playful yet can be cutthroat quickly, Echidna Shuffle, it's one that still I don't think has gotten enough attention. Hopefully we can continue to spread the good news about the Echidna Shuffle. It's amazing.
Yeah, Echidna Shuffle's so good. And actually, I think probably at the beginning of the year, we probably need to do a review for it because it's definitely a game that's flying under the radar. It looks like a kid's game. It's super cutthroat, far more cutthroat than something that even like Munchkin. But this one, I mean, it's a lot of fun, a lot of double crossing, a lot of like, I'm going to move your stuff because you move my stuff. And then somebody ends up being a winner and everybody's looking at everybody else around the table and saying, why'd you let them move that?
Yeah. You're the one who did that. And then you can't really talk to each other while you're sitting at the table at dinner.
Yeah, maybe
you don't
want to
see each other, look each other in the eye.
Yeah, maybe that's how you enter dinner not talking, you know? You don't have to talk politics with your uncle if you played a kit and a shuffle, because he's not talking to you anyway.
Because he exactly. Yeah, that's how you do it.
That's a good one.
That's the setup.
So let's say, Rick, we got a bunch of kids running around. You know, Phoebe.
Oh, man, I hate it when that happens. Gosh.
Phoebe, she's not using her legs as much as some of these older kids. But these older kids, they like using their legs. They're running around everywhere. Yeah. How are we going to keep them occupied?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're wanting to keep them from going crazy, well, let's let them get some wiggles out. Let's play something like Happy Salmon.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is Chicken.
Funky Chicken.
What's the chicken? Funky Chicken, yeah. Let's play some of those games and let's get some wiggles out.
Yep.
You know, they're really fun, really quick, and I think kids seem to like them a lot. We played a Funky Chicken last year and really it went over really well.
Yep. Even getting the grandparents involved, getting everybody out there. It's like, "Hey, come on, you know, you put your walker away and come shake your tail feather." So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Put your walker away and shake your tail feather.
That's the way
that
we
is
roll.
The slogan of One Board Family.
What about Squeezimals? Squeezimals is a Squeezimals. I forget the name of the game, but there's a Squeezimals game that is published by a company, and it's really good. And we've done a review for it.
Oh, sometimes Ryan likes to give himself stuff to edit.
I'm so good at this. I'm not going to edit this anyway. So
none of this is being edited.
No, not at all. So
I
don't have time
for that
mess. This
is the last episode we'll ever get to do because
Squeezimals. It is. It's basically the game of hot potato, and you are passing around. You're passing around this. Fluffy little thing while one person is spinning a spinner and trying to make a sundae, like an ice cream sundae, out of these cardboard chits. So it's really, really cool. It's a great game for kids 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Even our 11-year-old, when she was 10, she was all about it. So she would play with her cousins, had a really good time, especially around the holidays. So Squeezimals, think a Sunday, sweet
freeze
Sunday
and squeeze?
Shopper.
Freeze and squeeze?
Freeze. Yep, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the game.
See, when I Google, sometimes it's helpful when I
good
Google
job.
In the middle of our
yep.
podcast.
So that's you a know. Great, great little game.
Yeah, and then Haba has some great stuff that's out there. You know, Rhino Hero is a favorite of mine. Rhino Hero, you got to be a little bit careful with because it's just cards. So for those kids that like haven't been trained yet on the ways of taking care of games, they might just destroy it immediately. Yeah. But Rhino Hero is really fun for kids. And then Go Cuckoo is a game that I actually got my hands on this week where...
Sweet.
You've got a bunch of little sticks. It's kind of like Kerplunk, but backwards. But you make a nest from these sticks as you go along. And you each have eggs, and you're trying to get these eggs to balance on the sticks that you place across a cylinder that's holding all the sticks. And then you've got to put the mama bird on top. I played it at my school on Thursday, and we had a good time with it. So it's not like high energy or anything. It's actually, you got to be somewhat low energy so you don't destroy the nest as you're building it.
Yeah.
But the kids, it's simple enough that the kids can grasp the rules and, you know, understand how they're supposed to play it. So
that's really cool.
It's a good one.
So then we've got, let's get grandma and grandpa to the table. Let's get them to the table with some old fashioned gaming. What about 5211? Rick, this one is a newer card game from Next Move Games, the ones who made Azul. And so this one's really cool because what you're doing is you're looking around the table. It's a pretty simple game. You have 5 cards. You play two of them. You draw back up. You play one of them. You draw back up. Then you play one more. That's the whole game. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to look around the table and see what the most played color is and either join in or try to take down that color by making that color bust. At different player counts, the bust number is higher or lower depending on the player count. And you've got these, I think, five or six different colors that you're shooting for, like teal, orange, yellow, green, purple. So you want to score your cards by having the majority color represented at the table with all the other players. So it's a little, you're looking at the odds and looking at what's been played already and trying to keep in mind what you think everybody else has. But also there's a little bit of cutthroat in there, throwing down cards that might mess up another player and lose the round for them. So it's a really cool game, and it's very straightforward, not too hard to play.
Yeah. I think we're kind of viewing these as like the opposite of like a Happy Salmon.
Yeah.
Or Funky Chicken. Like we're going low energy. We're going to sit around a table, you know, just chat for a little while, maybe eat our dessert while we're playing, you know, something that's a little more chill.
Yeah, if you're looking for something kind of like Hearts and Spades and all these classic card games, Ladder 29 from Green Couch Games, that one's an excellent one. I remember teaching my mom this one about 2 years ago, and this one, it's kind of like it's a ladder game or a trick-taking type game. You are going around the table trying to play tricks, and each person at the table has certain restrictions that they have to deal with. So you want to play doubles and runs and triples and stuff like that. And a lot of older people who are used to classic card games, they get hype about Ladder 29. This is one that I would definitely teach grandma and grandpa. Let them understand the joys of hobby gaming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Maybe on the higher energy, I know we just said, you know, lower energy, but kind of sticking with the sitting around cards. I remember one of our best family memories, we have it on video, is with my great grandmother playing spoons with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all kind of helping her out and stuff like that. But we had a great time with that. So it kind of reminds me of like Dutch Blitz, which is something that a lot of people are familiar with. I actually wasn't introduced to the game until like last year, but a game like that is really fun, or Pit, where, you know, it's trying to collect stuff or get rid of cards and things like that, where everybody's kind of playing at the same time. Maybe it's a little too high energy, but maybe not. You know, you're still kind of, you can still play it while sitting down, you know, if you wanted to. So maybe that's kind of what we're looking for. And Ryan, you know, at the end of the night, you know, a lot of people will leave, but sometimes you got that family that maybe they're spending the night, or, you know, they live in town, so they're just kind of hanging out with you for a little while. And maybe you want a good nightcap, something that the family can sit around for an hour or two and just have a good time with, maybe a little on the heavier side. What are you thinking in that situation?
Man, I would say Sagrada. You are building stained glass windows, and there's something serene about just sitting around, choosing certain dice and trying to make your stained glass window and develop this pattern and score points. It's one of those games that it's serene, but also can be a little competitive. It's got a competitive edge to it. So Sagrada is a really good one that at the end of the night, if you're sitting there and you just step back and you look at this beautiful stained glass, those beautiful translucent dye that are sitting in your stained glass window, there's something really cool about that. So Sagrada would definitely be a good one for a good nightcap during the holidays.
And I, you know, put on here Ticket to Ride. I know it's something that we're pretty familiar with. I played it for the first time in a long time, a couple weeks ago, and that's a good game, man. It really holds up.
It really does.
Yeah, it's entertaining, and it's something that you can play while, you know, having conversations and while hanging out with people. So Ticket to Ride is something that we should check out.
And a lot of people know it because, honestly, we just had a couple new people show up for church tonight, and they saw our big game room. I was like, as you can tell, we kind of like games a little bit. And they were like, this is crazy. And then one of them was like, you got Ticket to Ride? I was like three copies over there. And he was like, yeah, Ticket to Ride's good. I was like, yep. Tiki Rod's real good.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
awesome. Well, Ryan, I think that will give people a good, you know, number of games to check out. And then we've got a surprise for you on the other side of this break for our last segment. So we're going to put you a little bit to the test. But we'll get to that right after this break. All right, welcome back. Now, Ryan, it's late at night right now when we're recording.
It's super late.
You know, it's ridiculous. And sometimes, you know, we come up with ridiculous things to do at the end of our podcast. So what I've decided is I'm going to help you evaluate your board game collection. Are you ready for this?
You're almost like a board game counselor. I like it.
Yeah, I'm a board game counselor.
I like this.
Yeah, so are you ready? Do you have your collection
I literally have no idea what you're going to ask, so
yeah.
This is going to be fun for us and the audience.
Just as fun as that. I also have no idea what I'm... No, I'm just... So, Ryan, thinking back, what is the first game that you had in your board game collection?
Ooh, first game. Wow. I'm going to have to say... I would say hobby board game, Stop Thief... 7 years old.
Nice. So, now, was that that was the older edition, right?
That was the old Stop Thief. My parents had bought it when they were in their twenties in New York, and they bought it from a Toys R Us in the early 80s, I believe. And they, when I was about 7 years old, my dad taught me how to play and I loved it. And that was probably my first hobby board game, I would probably say, because I love that game.
All right, what is the most recent game that you have added to your shelf?
Most recent game I've added to my shelf? Silver and Gold. Silver and Gold, I bought it Friday a week and a half ago, and we've played it a lot.
Nice. What is the game that takes up the most space on your shelf?
I would probably say Agricola. Agricola's I bought a copy of Agricola for about $10, which is super cheap. The person had, I think, two copies of it and just didn't realize it. They were selling a copy at one of the flea markets at Atlanta Game Fest. I bought it for $10, which is a steal. And Agricola is a pretty decent-sized box. I would say Crownhill's a crime because I've got both expansions, but they all fit in one box, so... Yeah, they did a good job with that box.
Yeah, none of those monster boxes that you see from, you know, that carry 120 miniatures. You're keeping it keeping
well.
It
now I will somewhat. I will tell you this time next year I will have Zombicide Season 2, which I went in on Kickstarter for, and that is going to take up a ton of space. So yes, I actually I'm thinking about buying a second house and just putting it in there.
Yeah, as you should.
Seems to make sense.
What game has been on your shelf the longest that is unplayed? The game that you have had the longest unplayed.
Longest unplayed? Oh, Dungeon Pets. Almost.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about that one for a while.
Almost 4 years.
Yeah. It will happen. Yeah. I believe in you, Ryan.
I bought Dungeon Pets as a... game that I was going to show my daughters because I thought the concept of creating these little, like hatching these little monsters and raising them and scooping their poop and stuff and then selling them for show, I thought that would be such an amazing game. And then I bought the game and looked on BGG and it was like, this is a heavy Euro game. Takes 2.5 hours to play. I was like, ah, crap. I wasted my money. But I think that I will eventually get it to the table. It's a worker placement game, which Aaron loves and I love. And so I'll get it to the table. Just might be another 4 years.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it.
One day.
What game are you the proudest to have on your shelf?
Proudest to have?
This is the one I want to show off.
Right now, I think Parks.
Yeah.
Parks is real pretty. Like,
yeah.
And I got to tell you, it's in my top 10 for 2019, and it's a real pretty game. I like taking, I got the Kickstarter edition, and it's got this pretty like black and gold cover over the front of it, sliding that cover off and being like, have you ever seen Parks? And people are like, oh snap, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What game are you the most embarrassed to have on your shelf?
Huh. I would say probably the massive number of copies of Clue that I have. I like Clue a lot because I was like, as a kid, Clue is one of my favorites. I really enjoy Clue. I like deduction games. I'm not a fan of the roll and move crap. And, you know, it just like, there's a lot of flaws with Clue, but I really like Clue as a whole. And I've got, Aaron threw me a birthday party probably 4 or 5 years ago where people bought different versions of Clue and gave them to me for my birthday. And we all dressed up. It was a surprise party, which was fantastic. She surprised me. I went over to help my brother for something and everybody was dressed as a different Clue character. And, I got to, take home 50th anniversary edition of Clue. It was missing like one or two pieces, but it's still pretty nice. I got a travel version of Clue. I got a classic Clue. I had my Simpsons Clue that I've had in my collection since college. So I got a couple copies of Clue and I'm not embarrassed by them, but people are like, you like Clue? And I'm like, yeah, I like Clue. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, back up off me. What game are you ready to get off your shelf, either by selling or giving away, like, right now? Like, what's the game that you're ready to get it out of the house?
I don't know. I'm conflicted because I feel like, okay, Unfair disappointed me. Mm-hmm. Unfair is a good game. I thought it would be a great game, and it sits on my shelf mocking me. So I think that's the one, because one day I'm going to get rid of it, but I don't know that I want to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a conflicting question.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
No. And then what
is the
game? I
need to go to therapy.
What is the, that's what this is.
Tomorrow.
And what is the game on your shelf that you will never get rid of?
Never like get rid of.
If you had to choose between the children and one of your board games,
children,
which one are you wrapping your
game,
arms around, which, and heading out of the house when it's on fire?
Oh, man. That's a really tough one.
And it doesn't have to be your favorite.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be or anything like that.
I don't know. I have some favorites. I have some top tens. I think I would want to hold on to... I don't know. I'm going to say this one because I feel like it's important, but I don't play it enough. HeroScape. HeroScape was a modular board game that was 2003, 2004, somewhere around there. And Hasbro made it, and you build out the terrain. I own a lot of HeroScape. Like, I spent probably $200 on HeroScape over the years that it was popular. It got discontinued. And a friend of mine spent about $500 on HeroScape because we would play every single weekend. My friend sold all of his HeroScape when he started having kids. He sold all of it and like buckets of HeroScape stuff. And I remember being like, you're going to regret that, dude. And his son turned 8 years old and he started rebuying it from eBay at double the cost. And I think that if I had to say I have to make room for HeroScape, I have to make room, I would not let go of HeroScape because I feel like I would regret it.
Definitely.
So, yep. Definitely.
Well, Ryan, that has been an analysis of your board game collection. How do you feel about it?
I don't know. You need to give me these questions because I feel like next episode I got to ask these of you, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you listen to our podcast, you might. I know you don't like hearing our voices. But
I don't feel like. I feel like that's a big commitment, Rick.
Oh, so, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I got to
edit
this.
Hopefully, you know, people
a
learned a little bit about you and who you are as a gamer from this board game evaluation. If they want to know more about you, Ryan, they can always check out oneboardfamily.com, where you're posting pretty much all of our stuff. Every now and then, Bob and I pretend like we participate, but mostly it's Ryan. Let's not lie here. And Ryan put up a great holiday guide out there for you guys, so you can check that out. It's our official holiday guide. I will probably post something that's a little more selfish here in a few days that's just my Christmas wish list. It's very selfish. Yeah. It's egotistical, and I do it every year. But you can check that out too. But we still got reviews and stuff going up all the time. And then if you check out our Facebook feed, Ryan has been doing a ton of, live streams with, the folks down there in Columbus. It's been great. All I do is jump on the chat and try to disrupt things to the best of my ability. and it works out sometimes. But Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, we're all over the places. And yep. You can check us out there.
That's cool. Rick, this has been a good night, man. I hope you have an excellent Thanksgiving, and I hope we run into each other while we're in Macon.
Sweet. We'll do it. We'll make it happen. And I hope all of you have a fantastic holiday. I hope you're able to do some gaming and have a great time with your family. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.
Ryan, what's the first trophy you ever won when you were a little kid?
Most handsome baby.
Okay. You know what? And we've talked about you were a pageant baby. You know, you were the New Year's baby.
I was.
And I'm sure that's what you got that trophy for.
Yeah, so when you think of New Year's baby, like the baby waddling around, being like, Happy New Year, they modeled that after me.
So. Yeah, certainly. Well, Ryan, not all of us get trophies that early, so you might want to play the game Trophies, a new one from Facade Games. This is a very basic card game where one person's a judge, and you're holding up a deck of cards, and on the other side of the deck, one side of the deck is letters that everybody else can see, and on the other side for the judge is categories. The judge says a category. Somebody has to say something that starts with that letter that matches the category. They win that trophy. You play until you get bored, I guess, and then whoever has the most trophies wins. That's Trophies. It sounds super simple, but dang, you're going to have some fun with Trophies. And you know, right now, we have a copy that we're going to be giving away of Trophies. So if you want to find out about that, you need to be checking out our Instagram and Facebook feeds here in the next couple weeks to figure out how you can get your hands on a free copy of Trophies from Facade Games.
I got to tell you, thinking about getting my second trophy in this life is making me really hype right now.
Sweet!